frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour.
You coming now?
Welcome to Wrestling Daft, the Marks, hailing from Larbor, weighing in at 183 pounds. Yes, I've been out running. I am John, producer of Wrestling Daft, host of this show. And with me, a man who has more height than a Montez Ford frog splash. It's Big Alex.
Thank you very much for comparing me to Montez Ford. That's the best intro I've ever had.
I knew you would like that. And let's welcome to the show a man that yet again looks like he's playing Taggart rather than talking about wrestling. It's Sports Keeders wrestling journalist, Scotland's answer to Dave Meltzer himself. It's Gary Cassidy.
How's it going? And I'm actually excited that you mentioned Montez Ford there, because I wish you'd have said that Alex was as intoxicated as Montez Ford was on last night's Raw. For anybody that missed that,
I want to get to this. There is so much to digest from last night's Raw. When we get into the Bury and Putovers, there is so much to talk about. But first,
we're going to have our own separate section for Raw this week.
It is just a minefield Raw this week. We'll get into it in the Bury and Putovers and in my promo as well, because there is something we need to talk about. We'll get onto that in a minute. However, we need to discuss yet again, and I've got, if you're watching the YouTube version on Patreon, you'll see in my background, Taggart, and I think the song needs to come out again, Alex, so 1, 2, 3, Inspector Gary, Gary's been on it again. He's been up to some more sterling detective work. Gary, please talk the listeners through what you've discovered this week.
The first thing is we need to bookend the Sasha Banks stuff, where on SmackDown she did indeed come out with the Sasha Banks side plates, which means that the full thing that was mentioned last week seems almost confirmed, where they done that photo shoot in between changing the side plates between two SmackDown tapings, which is why she was wearing the same attire as last week's SmackDown, and then that's how it got leaked that she was winning it. This week's one is now slightly unconfirmed. There is obviously the thing that I spotted, but I don't know what the end game is with it. I've not been told anything about the end game. We can only surmise that it's going to be someone debuting. But essentially what happened yesterday was, and this is always worrying when it happens for a lot of reasons, because we know a lot of other people that have done it for other reasons, is complete blackout of a profile. All tweets deleted, all Instagram posts deleted, and black profile photo. Obviously, face value, you're like, right, that's either just for a repackaging or something's happened or they've been hacked or something. You know, it could be anything. Then a wee bit of closer inspection. The profile photos weren't completely black. There was a wee bit of inconsistency there. And this, the only reason I had a look at this, if anybody remembers when Dark Order were hinting at their Exalted One, there was all these wee tiny hints, and they were always a different shade of black, like a kind of charcoal or different shade of black, just standing out somewhere in the corner. So I'm going to zoom into that, because you can click on a profile on Twitter, the profile photo on Twitter. You can't do it on Instagram. So the first one I seen was Twitter. I'm probably going to get them the wrong way around, but one of them said, "We will rise." I think that was the Twitter one. And I was like, I'm going to go and check if the Instagram one's the same, fully expecting it to be the same photo, and that said, "From the Ashes." Obviously, either way around, it's either "From the Ashes, We Will Rise," or "We Will Rise from the Ashes." I've no mention to it as yet. Dominik Dijakovic, the guy that has been rumoured to be going to Raw over the past however many weeks. Obviously, we know he gets slightly decimated the last time he was on NXT. Probably a way to write him off TV for a bit. Who knows if he's going to be on NXT, Raw, maybe in some kind of mystery faction we're going to talk about later. But yep, interesting stuff that it wasn't just a black profile photo. No idea why I clicked it, but I'm glad I did.
Nice work, Gary, yet again. So we reckon Big Double D on the way to the main roster. Do you think a character change maybe as well?
I think it's necessary. I find him a little bit bland, personally.
Oh. I was going to say, he's not got much character to change.
I mean, like, the only thing I know about Dominik Dijakovic is he likes to warm up and promo in front of a Croatian flag. That's all.
And point his eyes.
Yes.
He enjoys pointing his eyes. He is a bit kind of create your own wrestler, basic in the 2K, isn't he? A bit like that, you know, the whole package. But the thing is, he's so good in the ring. So good in the ring, you know.
He's also probably the only WWE wrestler to get a longer name when joining. I don't think that's ever happened before, but he's really impressive in the ring. So,
don't you worry.
Just Dom.
Yeah, he'll be shortened down to Dijakovic by the time, because he can't be Dominic.
We've
already got a Dominic, so he'll be shortened down to Dijakovic. Put my money on that one. before we get on to the show, though, got to say, Rab and Gretel, they're staying. It's like the Wolf of Wall Street. They're not leaving.
Sounds like John's promo on the main show did a lot of good then, did it?
Apparently so. Amazing work. Thank you. Patreon's still coming in. We've got about 140-odd patrons now, which convinced Rab and Gradle that, yeah, we've got to continue this for you guys and the wrestling community we've created here. So thank you so much. There's going to be lots of extra stuff in Patreon, including this week. I'm sitting down with Rab tomorrow night, chatting to him, having an interview about him, about his involvement and how he came about into the world of wrestling, both, you know, as a fan and actually going on to promote his own shows. So that'll be available on Patreon this week. So if you aren't involved yet, get involved, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, and you'll get that as a bonus episode. And then next week, I'm sitting down with Gradle. God knows how long it'll take me to tie him down. And we're going to get part two of the Gradle story, chapter two of It's Yourself. So what's coming on Patreon? The guys are going to be off for the next couple of weeks because Rab's away getting married. He's getting married at the weekend to his beautiful wife, Jen. So he's off, bit of marriage, wee bit of honeymoon. So
bit of marriage. I like the way you put that. Just a bit of marriage, just a bit of honeymoon.
So us three mugs will be looking after the Friday show as well. So looking forward to that. But this is the Mark show, and we've got all the usual stuff. Gary has been, as well as detective skills, he has been breaking the stories yet again this week. We'll get into that in the news a bit later on. We'll be burying and putting over stuff from the big shows, and I can't wait to get to Raw. Gary, I have no idea what you're going to bury. There is a lot to take in from last night's show.
I'm not sure if I'm the lucky one or the unlucky one this week at all.
I think we can
definitely afford Gary a couple of extra buries and putovers this week.
I think he can, but yeah, absolutely. The Jen Louise stipulation could be out of the window, I suspect. We're back on Fantasy Booking Island yet again, and Gary has the book. What are me and Alex booking this week, Gary?
This seems to be actually more fitting than I thought it would be after what we might have seen last night on Raw. Again, I know we'll get into it later, but I wanted to keep it as simple as possible. Book an invasion angle, any invasion angle, do what you want with it. It can be inter-promotional, it can be, you know, a faction, it can be a full promotion. Anything you want, invasion, just book an invasion.
Right, nice one. Looking forward to that. We've also got the feature that gets a bigger pop than the Hardy Boys' return at WrestleMania. It's back once again as we turn Japanese with Big Alex. What will we be looking at this week, Alex?
Well, speaking of big pops, they've announced a brand new show, they've announced a brand new tournament, and they've even now announced a point to the Summer Struggle Tour. So there's loads to talk about with New Japan as well.
Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. It's the highlight of my week is hearing about the Japanese wrestling. It's the highlight of the listeners' weeks to Wrestling Daft. We're all waiting with bated breath for the return of Turning
Japan. I think... just kind of generating a wee idea here, something that might be a nice future Patreon thing, might be Alex and Rab doing a Japanese wrestling special.
Oh my God, that would go on forever.
I've just made
for a 4-hour show. Yeah.
Come true.
Yeah, Jesus. So get that on because we know you love it, and possibly be getting all the latest news, like I say, with Gary. But first, it's time to cut a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, okay, we've already touched on it a couple of times on the show, but if you haven't seen Raw last night, spoiler alert, you're about to hear a wee bit of went on. So, basically, Shane O'Mac was billed to come back. We saw on the WWE's Twitter. Then suddenly, he comes back with this. Raw Underground. Now, if you haven't seen Raw last night, let me talk you through what Raw Underground is. Imagine a wrestling ring with no ropes, but the posts are still there. There's a black mat. There's a crowd being round the side. There's dancing girls. There's hip-hop music being played while this is going on, okay? And we have Shane O'Mac in the middle of all this circus calling, like, it's a wrestling match, like he's the ringmaster, wearing the same old Chino Mac gear. We've got a referee here with black gloves. What the fucking hell is this, I hear you ask? Well, I'll tell you exactly what it is. Imagine Fight Club meets MMA meets, you know, pro wrestling. That is the Raw Underground. It doesn't know what the fuck it is. It has no idea. So we've basically got what is meant to be a shoot environment with a kind of Fight Club feel, but with NXT and Performance Center talent and main roster talent, as if it's a shoot fight, but doing what they would already do in the ring, but worked moves. They're doing work moves in a kind of MMA. It's like if, for example, the MMA started doing pro wrestling. Let's you know, if the MMA, for example, Conor McGregor was to go to the top of the MMA cage and leap off it with a flying elbow, or, you know,
that would be amazing, John. That would be amazing.
Yeah, or actually do a proper pile driver, or someone actually does a shoot DDT and breaks someone's neck. This is what it's like. It's all over the place. I have no idea what it's meant to be. I am like, and it just totally shits on pro wrestling. It completely shits on actual pro wrestling because it's meant to be shoot, but it looks like a work, and I don't get it. I don't get it. What's going on? Please, please, someone explain it to me. Gary, please tell me what is going on. I hate it. I hate it. It's the first week, and I like how they're trying something different, but I immediately hate this. Please give me your thoughts and views.
You've got to admire the fact that they've put the person with the best work shoot punches and Shane McMahon into the lead role, though. Really, that's something that you've got to admire in some way. So I actually quite like the idea. I'm not sure how much life it's got, and there's a lot I hate about it, but I like the idea. The one thing they really made a mess of, though, is we don't know why people, like, why did we just see Dolph Ziggler getting in and fighting somebody? There needs to be some kind of jeopardy about it, or some, like, what? Either jobs need to be at risk or money needs to be involved.
You know what the best thing was? Todd Phillips' reaction. Todd Phillips just like, oh, that was cool. What was that? We've got an underground fighting ring going on next door. Cool, we'll just cut back to that later.
Yeah. So I found out about this an hour before, or less than an hour before Raw went on air, and I'm really glad that I found out that late, because I feel like no matter how certain I was that this was the idea, I still wouldn't have been comfortable putting out the story on it, because nobody would have believed me. Absolutely nobody would have believed me that that was going to happen. So I'm glad I found out so late that I could nip it a story out. I just put a couple of wee teasers on Twitter, and I was like, no, I'll just leave it there. No spoil anything, let everyone find it for themselves.
Then, at the end of the show, the Hurt Business walk in, destroy everyone. They've just lost on the main roster. MVP's just lost a wrestling match, and now he's walked into a fucking shoot environment, apparently, and he's battered some boy, as has Bobby Lashley. I mean,
that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if
it doesn't
gonna
make
be...
it doesn't
well, the Hurt
make
Business
sense.
Are the perfect people for that environment, though. I do get that.
I get that.
The wrong time.
What are the rules? I don't understand the rules.
There are no rules.
There are no rules.
It's basically someone jumps on top of someone, batters them, and then Shane O'Mac says, well, that's you, the winner. It's just impressed
Shane O'Mac.
We are breaking the first rule, because the first rule are Raw Underground is you don't speak about Raw Underground.
You see, I'm hoping they go like totally Lucha Underground with it and start throwing in all the crazy like mad shit that went on in Lucha Underground, like,
but
you know,
I got
like
Lucha Underground,
the
Lucha Underground,
stuff like that.
I got Lucha Underground because it was set out like it was, but this has just popped out from nowhere. I'm so confused.
Shall we start placing bets on how long this is going to last?
Right, okay.
It's a 2 week minimum because they've obviously already filmed next week.
Right, okay. I'm going to go 4 weeks because Vince hasn't seen it yet, and then he'll see it on the next tape and go, that is shit, and cut. I'm giving it four weeks. So starting that being the first one, 2, 3, 4. That's it. That's all I'm giving it. Alex.
See, I'm gonna be really bold, and I'm gonna say they push this for like 2 months. I reckon they're gonna try this at one point. I reckon there will be a pay-per-view appearance of Raw Underground. Whether or not SmackDown Underground appears at the weekend as well.
And SmackDown's got a lot more talent for it as well. Matt Riddle, Sonya Deville, Cesaro, Chad Gable. The amount of talent on SmackDown that could be on it would be incredible. But I'm thinking the same, where I was going to say 8 weeks, 2 months, definitely. I think we'll get some kind of payoff. I really want the payoff to be a fight pit match. I really hope we get some, you know, a tournament, and then that's the payoff. But I think they're going to persevere for a little bit with it, just because people are talking. Good or bad, people are talking, and that is the kind of the only thing that matters. So
I think they'll hopefully make a couple of tweaks, especially when it comes to the dancing girls. Can we stop having dancing girls everywhere in 2020? It's like, we're meant to be living in a world of equality. We've just had the Me Too movement. Can we stop with the sexification of women? And I don't think sexification's a word. I'll add that in there.
No, it's just a word. So anyway, that's my promo. I'm glad we're all kind of in agreement with that. What the fuck is Raw Underground? Thank you very much. So every week on the show, we look back at the big wrestling shows and basically sit here and slag them off and say nice things about them as well as we buddy and put over. This week, we welcome one of our brand new patrons. Thank you to Craig, who's jumped on and is our resident mark for this week. How you doing, Craig?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Aye, not bad, not bad. How long have you listened to Wrestling Daft for?
Pretty much from this first episode, aye, the Chris Jericho one.
Well done. Listen,
amazing how you hook people in with Chris Jericho, isn't it, John?
Yeah, that's amazing how that worked out. Season ticket holder, I'm glad to have you on board, and thank you very much for signing up to Patreon and supporting the show and keeping it going. Really appreciate that, mate. How long have you been in wrestling all your life, or when did you
The first pay-per-view that I remember watching was SummerSlam 91, which is like the match made in hell / match made in heaven thing.
So yeah.
That's kind of like my first memory. Ever since then, pretty much.
Did you have a lot of wrestling fans? Because I'm probably more of your vintage as well, Craig. My first kind of pay per view was kind of 88-89, SummerSlam 88-89. And then I kind of dropped out when I went to, kind of, I was about 13-14, kind of dropped away from it. And then I came back to it when I was about 18 or 19 during the Attitude Era kind of stuff. Did you have a lax period or?
Probably like kind of sort of mid-2000s, there was a wee bit of lax period, but I always kept an eye on it. I never watched it as intently at that point, but I pretty much since then I've kind of made sure I've kept up to date with it and stuff.
Good lad, good lad. Have you got any wrestling credentials that you can impress us with for this feature?
Well, I was thinking about which wrestlers I've met. I've met a couple. I've met Grado once or twice. I've met Colt Cabana. It's quite unforgettable. I've met Colt Cabana, but the weirdest thing that I've had with a wrestler is that I was backstage at I ended up stumbling backstage at a show in Edinburgh. I accidentally tried to find a toilet and I stumbled across John Morrison and Ricochet playing a computer game.
What were they playing?
Oh, well, do you remember Five Star Wrestling?
Obviously. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, it was one of their first shows before they'd had the TV contract and stuff. And they were trying to put together some mad, weird computer game that it looked absolutely horrendous. But they were like trying out to see what it was like and stuff. And I just stumbled across them and they just kind of looked at me as if to say, who are you? And I was like, oh, sorry, lads. And just made my way in there quite quickly. But that was quite the weirdest encounter I've had with a wrestler.
Five-star wrestling ended well. God rest his soul. Right, so you know the crack, Craig. We basically buddy and put over. So you either get two buddy, you can either have, well, you've got to put two put overs, and then you can enforce the Jen Louise stipulation, which means you only have to do one buddy, or you can take two buddies, and then match of the night. So we'll get you as you review SmackDown to us in a minute, but let's kick the whole thing off with Alex and AEW.
So, I feel as though I'm starting to get really critical of Dynamite now, as this was an average week of Dynamite. Even though it was a great show, I think it's just now becoming, like, they seem to have peaks and troughs, even though it's normally a very good quality. I mean, it's still great, but not the best. Ooh. So, we had a little game of Parse the Parcel with Marco Stunt, where JR decided to describe him as some kind of chihuahua, and we had the results of Stu Grayson's most recent rummage through the textile bin at Oxfam. Now, I did say at the beginning of the show we need to give Gary some extra berry and put overs for Raw, so I'm going to take a total liberty here and steal an extra one for myself.
Go for it.
Right? And this is also going to be a little bit ironic because I did kind of have a go at over-sexualization earlier, but I want to put over Matt Cardona's fucking body.
Oh,
because he looked that. Ripped.
He looked that.
I just thought that needed to be mentioned. Okay, I'll get onto the real stuff now, right? So, first put over, Darby Allin and that little sneak attack to start off the main event. How good was that? Mm. And like the way they even foreshadowed it, you had the little Taz promo before where he's calling him a pussy and all that stuff. And I did not see his little jump off the top of the stage incoming. It was a great little moment to start the match. I was a big, big fan of that. Now on to the berries. Unfortunately, I am going to have to overrule the Jen Louise stipulation this week. I'm sorry, John. I know how much that disappoints you.
Oh, it's okay. I've got plenty of buddies as well.
Sorry, Jen. Berry number one. Colt Cabana and Anna Jay not watching back the product they're featured on. Every week, we just drag them out and it's like, just you go to the side, Colt. Just you go to the side. And then they go and do their evil deeds. So does no one like speak to Colt backstage and tell him what Brody Lee's doing? Does he never think, do you know what? I want to like be critical of my commentary performance last night. So I'm going to like go on and rewatch it back. That's just a little bit too much. But I did like them putting Colt on commentary. The whole revolving booth works really well over there. It's pretty good. Keeps it fresh. Bury number two. It's quite fitting because we're still on the topic of commentary.
Oh, I wonder who's getting buried here.
It's Tony and JR, and how often they reference picture in picture. So many times. Like, I thought it would be hilarious that I'd count. I got to about 13, and by that point, it was ridiculous, and I just stopped counting. And it was just like, oh, it's like, I mean, I guess it's probably different for us since we're not in the States. So we can't get involved in these competitions. We're not watching it live. We're watching it on Fight. So it's a bit different, but you don't have to keep hyping it up for the whole fucking show. It's unnecessary. It's absolutely
I think my favourite JR moment, I think actually, can we have a new feature within Buddy or Put Over? We have JR moment of the week, Alex. I think my favourite JR moment from this week was, who wrote that? He said about someone made a game. He says, who wrote that?
There was another good bit where, like, I think a match had come up and Tony looked, like, he just heard Jay go, oh, is this one of mine as well? And Tony's like, yes, JR.
Yeah, it's going to be, we're definitely putting JR moment of the week in here.
He also sounds like he's starting to get commission on masks.
He does, yeah.
Like, it's, like, I mean, good on him. Like, I'm glad that they're doing the opposite of WWE and they're really pushing the health and safety with the coronavirus situation, but like picture in picture, maybe a little bit.
Okay. I thought, and we know why he wasn't there, but I think Excalibur not being there was something that was kind of not great for the other guys. I think he's normally the glue that holds everything together.
Yeah.
But we know why he wasn't there. So.
Oh, did they tell you why? Because I missed that. Because I remembered last week they mentioned Tony's test.
No, never mentioned that.
They never mentioned Excalibur on the show.
They didn't, but apparently he was pulled in. There's rumours that he might have pulled himself from the show because a video surfaced of him using the N-word. But apparently it was in character as well, but I know that still doesn't really make a difference. Mm. But that is apparently why he was not in the show, just because it was breaking news like the day before.
Right.
No idea if they're going to stick him on a tolerance course or anything like they did with Sammy Guevara. But yeah,
hopefully. I would really miss Excalibur. I think he's been a real big standout for me from the beginning of the AEW experiment.
Last pull over, Alex.
I think everyone can guess what this is going to be.
Yes, it is. It's got to be.
It has to be the fucking promo of the year.
Yes!
Maxwell Jacob Freeman for president. Hashtag not my champion.
Oh, like, brilliant.
I just love the little references he puts in. Like, did he come up with something like, because I'm not from the land of the Titans, that's old shtick, brother.
Yeah, loved it.
He said something else like to John Moss, cold, like, I don't cause...
Cosplay, that's a Stone Cold Truth or something like that. Yeah. It was brilliant.
So I thought that was like excellent. That was great from start to finish. The presentation, the whole getting MJF to lean into Donald Trump a little bit was a fantastic shout. Yeah. And I encourage them to keep that up for the whole of this build to All Out. Mm-hmm. I think it will be great. But again, he mentioned the damn ratings. Can they stop mentioning the ratings?
Oh, God.
He mentioned the ratings.
Oh.
Match of the night has got to be your tag match, because it's always going to be Paige and Omega for me. I really like how Paige is leaning into this drunk character with a little kind of like pre-scuffle with the Dark Order and stuff before. So yeah. I thought that was class. And the bits with Brody, like at the end, getting all pissed off. I know I buried them taking Colt in that way, but I thought it worked quite well this week.
They got like some mental... It was like JR going on, again, JR moment about... the five-man tag and all this sort of stuff, and then the tornado tag.
He just
tag.
Can't keep track of it and all this stuff.
Couldn't keep track. Is this a tag match? Is this a tornado tag match? And like, it was like, someone must have been zero. The tornado tag match is at the end of the night, JR. He was a bit confused by that all as well. Do you think it's going to be FTR Hangman, or what do you think? How's that situation going to play out? It's all.
I'm intrigued to see what happens, because I think they're going to start a wee group with FTR and Paige. So I don't think it'll be FTR to take the belts off them. And What did confuse me though is why Arn is suddenly managing FTR. I thought the whole idea was that it might be Tully. Like, they've been alluding to Tully being involved in FTR in some way for ages, and then this week Arn turned up in the contract signing. So that's a bit confusing.
Yeah, it is a bit. It's all a bit strange there. But no, I think there's a lot of good matches there. I mean, obviously the Bucks FTR one. I think they're obviously going to hold off. They're holding off till they can get a crowd in for the FTR Bucks match. So
I think, because neither of them are like around the belts or anything like that, they can keep just pushing that off for as long as they need to.
Yeah. And by the way, Hangman Page is only 29. That's incredible. Did not realise that until they said in commentary. So. A lot of miles still in the car for him, or whatever the expression is.
First for this one, John.
In the tank. A lot of miles still in the tank, in the car, whatever. Right, okay. On that note, I'll move on to NXT and try and not trip over my words. Right, so lots of stuff on the show this week. Not a particularly strong NXT, I didn't think, but some good moments in there, as always. I just want to put over classical music for ring entrances. I just think, you know, if you have a classical music ring entrance, it's just good, isn't it? You know, Imperium, the Macho Man, Ric Flair, Daniel Bryan. More of that, please. Though I did notice.
I wouldn't really call the remix of Ride of the Valkyries particularly.
I know, but he did. Before he started using the jazzed up Ride of the Valkyries, he actually used Ride of the Valkyries, and then some chump in the back said, "Oh no, we can't have that because it's not cool enough for the kids." So we'll do a jazzed up version of it, like they did with Charlotte Flair as well. So
have I mentioned my Imperium song story?
What's happened now? I was going to get to this. They've changed it, haven't they? It's not as banging as it used to be.
Well, mine wasn't on that, but I think they have altered it a wee bit. I'm not sure if it is just, you know, the empty arena or something that makes a difference. But when I went down to cover NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2, I'd originally booked a hotel miles away, and it was going to be like an hour's walk to get there. And obviously I knew where the hotel that I was going to be doing all the media stuff was in. So I just rebooked that hotel because Blackpool in January, nobody was there. So I booked that hotel, and the stuff that I was doing the next morning was at 8 a.m. So I had to wake up really early. Obviously thought I was going to sleep in and that. So I was like, set my alarm super early, 7 o'clock. And for like the full hour, I was just like kind of going on my notes and stuff like that. But I decided for some reason that I was just going to listen to both Undisputed Era and Imperium's theme songs on repeat, just because they're two of the best theme songs ever. No realising that I'm pretty sure I was on the same floor as all of those talents in the hotel. So I'm wondering if they were next door in any way and just heard somebody blasting out seven in the morning. I was like, I hope they didn't see me coming at the hotel.
Oh, amazing.
Kyle O'Reilly on one side, Fabian Aichner on the other.
That is ultimate Mark moment. You're in the right place here, Gary. You're among friends. Well played, mate. Well played. So I'm going to put over just classical music ring entrances, because it's great, and I think that I'm all for it. Right, let's go into the buddies. Let's take a couple here. Right, I've got to say, what's happened to Robert Stone's feet, right? So Shotzi ran over 1 foot with the tank, and he had a boot on. She ran over the other foot, and he didn't have a boot on that one. Come on, a bit of consistency here.
Did they not say that? I'm pretty sure they said something last week on NXT. It's like, it wasn't as bad as last week.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They made a point of saying that. Like, so it seems like they've like preempted getting themselves out of making him completely disabled.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. But Robert Stone in a wheelchair would have been brilliant. Robert Stone.
then they're copying Britt Baker. Then everybody says they're copying Britt Baker.
Yeah,
so.
True. Yeah, right. Also going to have to bury the fact that any person out there that thought the Pat McAfee, Adam Cole thing was shoot as opposed to a work. On NXT, they ran the whole scene when Pat McAfee and Adam Cole which is obviously getting set up for a big, you know, Undisputed Era were back into that kind of kicking ass because they did a, you know, rundown on Imperium and stuff like that. But anyone that thought that was a fucking shoot, come on now. Come
the
on.
The weirdest thing about that full thing was the on-screen graphic for Triple H said Hunter Hurst Helmsley. Like, he's not been called that for about 25 years.
I know, I saw
it. Triple H or Paul Levesque. He's not Hunter Hurst Helmsley anymore.
And I would like a wee third buddy, but I'll wait till next week because I'm not convinced about Rich Holland, who's come up from NXT UK and is going to be on next week's NXT, because the last time I see him on NXT UK, he looked very green. But
yeah, I thought that was a strange one as well that they've called him up.
Yeah, of all the people you could have from NXT UK and they went for him.
He maybe lives in the States.
Or I was going to say it's a slightly geographical choice because he's been there for months.
Right.
Because the first time he was on Raw, obviously he's got the mustache, and everybody's gone, "What are they doing having Dexter Lumis in the crowd? They're ruining his character." And it's like, it's no Dexter Lumis, it's Rich Holland.
Right. Okay.
But I like the way Dexter Lumis now has like a monopoly on the mustache.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely. No, Bobby Fish is. What are you talking about, Bobby Fish?
Oh, Fish has got a beard. He's got like a whole. Fish is just a good-looking man, John, right?
Hey, Fish is a good-looking man.
Fish is just a good-looking man.
Yeah, he's a great
I realise that this week, every week I'm starting to like just put over the looks and bodies of men, of male wrestlers now.
Welcome to a wrestling podcast.
And complain about dancing women. Yeah, this is getting off
And I'm going to, just following on from that, my final put-over is Dakota Kai getting rid of her perm. You're talking about men's bodies. I'm talking about women's hair.
This is some top quality wrestling.
This is really top quality, you know. But I didn't think she suited her perm, so I'm really delighted she's going back to her straight hair. You know, not talking about the ending of the triple threat match, which I thought was really good. You know, not talking about Lumis popping up in the background. No, I'm going to put over Dakota Kai's lack of perm. I enjoyed NXT, but good to see Imperium back as well. Keith Lee, Cameron Grimes is great as a heel. I think that whiny heel stuff he does is brilliant. But match of the night, I'm going to go Roddy Gargano. Oof, that's never going to be bad, is it? Roddy Gargano, just two master technicians. Roderick Strong's so good. As is
I'd Gargano. Argue they are the two best workhorses in the brand.
Yeah, I think Gargano gets a kind of hard time from a lot of wrestling fans just for the way his match he's running stuff, but I think he's brilliant. And him and Roddy, give them more time. Just give them all the time. Give them all the time. So, yeah, that's NXT from me. Let's move over to Craig and SmackDown. And I've got a funny feeling SmackDown's going to rate better than Raw did this week.
Aye, it's wasn't as weird as Raw, put it that way. SmackDown wasn't too bad. There was nothing great on it or nothing too brutal either. It was just kind of middle of the road. You can tell they're low on talent, so there was like no too much going on. But my first put over would be Sonya Deville. Like obviously that storyline's been kind of absent from like the show for the last few weeks for whatever reasons. But the sort of backscene segment we had in Mandy Rose was really good, how they put it, like that together and stuff. I thought, and it just showed her in a really good light in terms of her character and what she's like trying to do. And I thought Sonya Deville was really good in that. It was the best bit about it though was that nobody seemed to react until she got to the Clippers, and then the Clippers were like you've went over the line here. And everybody seemed to be scared of the Clippers as well. Even like a bald guy, I'm sure, was there, and he seemed to be scared of them. So that was quite interesting.
She's been absolutely. I mean, Gary, you've been going on about Sonya for the last week while. She's been totally fired through lockdown, hasn't she?
I think they're positioning her for the big blow off match with Mandy Rose at SummerSlam, and then sticking her in the title picture. I'm pretty certain that's the way they're going to go with her.
Yeah.
And it would be brilliant if they did. They definitely should, because she's amazing.
Yeah,
I agree. I'll go with the GLS system. So I've only really got kind of one buddy, and it's just the sobriety storyline that they keep bringing up with Jeff Hardy. I know they've kind of sort of ended the feud with him and Sheamus by what Sheamus's promo and stuff, but then Baron Corbin comes out and he's using the same sort of shtick about like the sobriety thing and about collecting coins and all that, and it's like, just let Jeff Hardy be Jeff Hardy. It's just they keep just going on with that, and I don't know why they just kind of just move on to it. But Aye, they seem to be sticking with it. I don't know what Jeff Hardy's next storyline is. It doesn't seem like they're setting up a feud because Baron Corbin's kind of Matt Riddle at the moment. So I'm not too sure, but aye, wish it would just end that.
Yeah.
They love Corbin. They love Corbin. He'll feud with the entire roster at once and they'll be really happy about it.
What do you, talking about Corbin, what do you make of putting him and Chad Gable together?
That was very random. I think that was a, like, we've not got many people here, we'll just throw you in there type scenario. I like Chad Gable, he's great in the ring, and him and Matt Riddle, that would be an incredible match before if it's setting up towards Riddle and Corbin. But yeah, you can tell they're just, we need something for him to do type thing.
Yeah.
It's set up. I've heard rumours they're considering dropping Shorty G.
Dang
I hope so.
Which would be lovely. You can't have a heel called Shorty G.
No, you can't.
No, certainly not.
Yeah.
My second put over would be Big E's singles push. I know it's kind of like by accident in terms of the injuries to Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, but the best things in wrestling normally happen by accident. So it's good that he's going to finally get a singles push. Whether it actually comes to anything or they do it properly is very much up for interpretation. But it's good that he's actually going to get one at the moment. How long that lasts, who knows. But yeah, I thought he came across quite well in the match with the Miz.
Guys, do you think you'll see Big E in the Universal title picture?
I think they're going to go Intercontinental.
I was thinking the same as well.
Can you complain with Big E versus AJ Styles?
No, definitely not. And that's a brilliant face v heel dynamic as well. Yeah. I'd really like that.
Yeah. I saw Gary on his Twitter was pushing for the return of the Big E 5 count this week.
Yeah. I know that everybody was saying it's way too heelish, but I'm like, oh, just do it. It's brilliant. I love the gimmick. Yeah, I absolutely love it.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, what was the match of the night, Craig?
It'll be AJ Styles, Grand Metalik. AJ Styles could have a good match with my gran, I think, so he's never going to be in a bad match, but no. Grand Metalik's good as well, and it was a great way to start off the show, definitely.
I tell you what, I think Lucha Underground,
House Party?
I know what I'm saying.
Lucha Underground's dead, John. We've got a new Underground.
There's too many Luchas out there now. Lucha House Party, I think, you know, ever since Elimination Chamber have been looked brilliant. I think people actually Elimination Chamber went, these guys are actually really good. Yep. Let's use them a bit more. Now, I would suspect next week will be Lince Dorado, AJ Styles, which again I think will be pretty bloody good as well.
Yeah, I think they were setting up for them to be sort of the main feud with Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura as well for the tag titles.
Good.
So.
That's good. That's good to hear. Good to hear. I think they'll be good to see their talents on show. Right, now is the time. What has been happening on Raw, Gary?
I'm probably going to disappoint you here because I'm sticking to two biddies and two putovers. I've split them though, so I'm doing a biddy and a putover for Raw and a biddy and a putover for Raw Underground.
Right, okay. You've got a putover for Raw.
I do indeed. I'll start with just Raw and then we'll get into Underground. My first putover, and I kind of knew this was going to be it anyway after last week. It's been a while since I've put over Drew McIntyre, but that promo last night was absolutely incredible.
It was.
Absolutely
good.
Phenomenal. And when it was, you know, Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, you know the promos are going to be brilliant. There's no doubt in that. Just how real, and he's brilliant at this anyway, but just how real Drew McIntyre made the promo sound and the fact they said prick.
I wrote that down.
That's the way he said it. I said that as well. Scottish way you said it.
The word prick is so underused. You know, if you call someone a prick, if you call someone a dickhead, it's not as good as you're a prick. See, in the Scottish accent, it works so well.
He's the only guy in the roster that can do it and do it believably as well. But it was just a brilliant promo. A lovely way to end it.
It just steps up and he starts calling you, right, you ball bag. Wanker. He starts calling people wankers as well.
We could then make like a Drew McIntyre Scottish banter bingo card, which would be class.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's been a while, so well done. We got Drew back into the putovers.
Aye, it's been a few months since that run.
No, it's not, Gary. It's been a matter of weeks since you've had him as a putover.
See, when you said you had won, I was convinced it was going to be Liv Morgan, because before it was Drew, it was Liv Morgan.
That was good as well, but and Ruby Riot as well. But aye, that was good as well. But now we've put them to the side for this week. The Berry. the Berry. Has to be the faction.
Yes.
Don't advertise a faction hellbent in chaos on your official website and promote that as being the thing that's going to happen, and then don't really have them show up anyway. So I'm going to bypass the fact that they didn't actually give us a faction, because that is just annoying in itself. Everybody was waiting to the very end of the night. Even after the very end of the show, I was like, it can't have finished. We've not seen the faction. But my main problem is the fact that they've got a faction that's hell-bent and causing chaos, that's going to overthrow the authority and all that stuff. You know, we see one wee bit of them throwing a Molotov cocktail, which is pretty cool. You know, they went full Grand Theft Auto there. We've seen the production stuff they were messing about with. Liked all that stuff. But they ruined it by advertising it beforehand, because as far as I know, we're still meant to believe that Raw's live. I know we all know it's not, but we're still meant to believe Raw is live. So if they've advertised that beforehand and then they have them kind of jiggering about with stuff that the production team are a bit, you know, unaware of, it just doesn't make sense. And the fact that, and it seems like now the reason the faction didn't debut is because they weren't meant to originally. The rumour is the social media team jumped the gun on that after they seen Pro Wrestling Sheet and Ryan Satin putting out the story, and they just put it out immediately, which it's amazing that can be a miscommunication in any massive company. But the fact that they mentioned, or Ryan Satin was mentioning, it's not political, definitely not political. It's going to at least incite some kind of political feelings in something somewhere. They book themselves into a corner with this kind of thing, because if it's going to be that kind of thing and they're going to be chaotic, which was the word of the day, if they're going to be this, you know, faction that is hell-bent on overthrowing the authority, they also can't just be on Raw. They need to be across every brand. Yeah. So they're really booking themselves into a corner with it, and they just under-delivered on something that they went as far as putting out a story on in WWE.com, which they never normally do with rumours, so they just didn't deliver on what they promised.
Now, we're assuming that all the you know, throughout Raw last night, there was all the kind of flickering of the lights, all the kind of mic cutouts. That's all to do with this faction, presumably, yeah?
Yeah,
that was... Or Shane McMahon stealing all the power in the basement.
aye, all that. That was all... But again, they kind of didn't explain that. That was the gimmick, is that obviously they're messing about with the power. I think that the footage they threw... the footage they had shown was the faction throwing a Molotov cocktail at an electricity generator, I guess it was meant to be. So that was meant to be the kind of half explanation. But also,
and that causes more of an explanation. How many buildings have an external power generator in the middle of Florida? In the middle of Orlando, next to a university.
It wasn't good.
before we move into Raw Underground, the Buddies and Put Overs, which I'm very much looking forward to hearing what you're going to put over from that, Gary. Who do we think is going to be in this faction? We've mentioned Dijakovic. Any guesses?
I think it needs to be, if the rumour is true and they're going to be called Justice, but spelt Just Us, I think it has to be Mustafa Ali. I don't think it will be, but for me, it would definitely be Mustafa Ali leading a faction. I also heard a rumour last night that the thing that we've been hearing for weeks is that they are still planning on doing this full Nation of Domination 2.0 thing. But I hope that's not the case.
Surely that's the Hurt Business. Sure.
Aye, that would make more sense. But I heard last night that that's still apparently something really? That's being planned. Yeah. But
Had MVP not come out against the kind of Nation of Domination revival thing that I read?
I don't think I've seen, I'm not sure if I've seen that, but it probably did. I mean, I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's probably the worst idea they could do. It's the most tone-deaf thing ever in this current day and age, for a start. And the fact that if they were going to have that running against or even at the same time as this faction, it just is a bit daft. No keen. I would like Mustafa Ali as leader of the faction, but I don't think it'll happen.
I mean, it's going to be interesting who they bring in for that faction. Is it going to be all the underutilised guys? But then I'm trying to think everyone's kind of being utilised just now because of
Ricochet,
the coronavirus.
Ricochet, Cedric Alexander, everyone has had a failed push in the past.
Maybe it's Alexander and Ricochet. Maybe that's a faction. But then Ricochet and Alexander have been kind of floating about telly the last wee while, so... I'll be interested. I'll be tuning back in, obviously, for Raw Underground next week. But yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens there. Right, okay, let's move on to my favourite bit. Let's go into the buddies and putovers for Raw Underground.
So my first, the first buddy, which I'm going to kind of write off, I've got 1.5 buddies because it's the same segment, we'll say. But the main thing is the Nitro Girls. Why? What underground fight club has three women dancing on a stage immediately across it? And I don't know, because I've not been in any, but I don't know who would have three women dancing and scantily clad across the guys trying to kill each other.
Can we just pretend this is actually what Shane McMahon's basement looks like, and he's just remodeling it around?
It was just something I didn't get. Like Alex mentioned earlier, the full sexualisation thing. When you run that kind of angle at the same time as you're trying to promote like the women's evolution and all that kind of thing, it just isn't good. I absolutely hated it. That was something that I didn't like. But the main body is kind of looking more at the, I mentioned, guys half killing themselves. So this is kind of a contrast to one of the bits of my put over, but it actually kind of exposes your core product if you're doing this, because if you're going to have people assaulting each other close fist, that's one of the things that doesn't happen in wrestling. The only two people I can think of that have won by knockout that are the actual boxers, you know, like Tyson Fury doing it recently. The only people that actually win by knocking out people with punches is Lacey Evans in The Big Show.
Yeah.
So it kind of defeats the purpose when you do that. Now, I like the kind of grapple style that they're doing. You know, I like the fact it's going to showcase some ground games, but I just think it completely undermines the actual professional wrestling aspect of professional wrestling. So that, for me, I don't know how they're going to run it alongside, you know,
professional wrestling.
I hope they do, because I'm intrigued by the concept, which I'll get into with the put over, but that's the one thing that is, I need to bury it, because I think it is trying to, you know, how's this going to run against like UFC or actual MMA? It isn't. So it kind of puts it in a difficult position.
Yeah.
But the put over, I like it overall.
I also don't hate it.
Oh my god!
So, full disclosure, one of my favourite things, and actually my two favourite wrestling promotions of all time, are ECW and Lucha Underground. And it doesn't, you know, it's no dissimilar to any of them, particularly Lucha Underground. Overall, I really liked how they presented it. You know, right from the start, having my favourite guy of all time, big Jordan Omogbehin, who was the giant ninja guarding the door. I just love that guy, because I can bring out that fact every time he turns up. Oh, the 7'3" guy that WWE signed as a former basketball player. But having him guarding the door, they had, you know, the vice president of creative writing, Ryan Ward, who is like whatever, 5'5", I think he is, 5'6". That angle, you know, they presented it, they teased it the right way. I wish they teased it a bit more. I think they showed Shane McMahon and what it was way too early, but I know they were trying to hook people for the third hour. But I thought the way they threaded it was brilliant. I know the idea is very controversial, and I wish they had gave us a bit more background into, you know, I mentioned earlier, why? We need to know why. Is, you know, are people's jobs at stake if they aren't good at this? Are they going to win money if they are good at it? We need some kind of jeopardy there. We also need, you know, they just had I think his name was Dabba Kato, who is Baba Tunde, that was in the main event film. He was in the Greatest Royal Rumble, get eliminated by Braun Strowman. He was the main guy we've seen against a load of other people we don't know. They should have probably started with a wrestler we knew. But the fact that we ended up getting people like, you know, Eric the Viking Raiders, I've been critical about how they've misused the Viking Raiders. Dolph Ziggler, he is somebody that has got a very, you know, strong amateur wrestling background, which we've not really seen much of or heard much of. And the main thing, the ending, I love the ending. And I think if you have this as a gimmick for the Hurt Business, which it makes sense name-wise, and Bobby Lashley just wrecking people in this. I agree with what you said with the promo earlier, that they shouldn't have had them lose the matches before it, but I think it's going to be really good, and there's a load of options going forward. Not sure how much life it's got, but if it ends, as I said earlier, in a fight pit, I would be all for it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. I'm very, very sceptical, because there's a lot of stuff I hate, but I don't hate the concept overall.
Well, do you know what? The one thing is, they need to try something, don't they? I mean, with the ratings and what have you, and I hate, you know, we hate talking about ratings on this show, but they need, WWE need to do something different. And you, what you would say, this is completely different. But like, the only thing I would say, it just come from nowhere. There's been no backstory to it. And it's just suddenly, oh, Shane O'Mac's back with this.
And it's it came from nowhere, because it came from nowhere. It literally wasn't a plan before yesterday. So that's why it came from nowhere.
Mental.
See, before we wrap up Barry and put overs, I think John might have an honorary put over for Raw that he's not mentioned yet.
Yep.
Tozawa! Won the 24/7 title! No, I was really disappointed at the lack of Big Ninja, but he was obviously too busy at the Raw Underground.
He's got an upgrade. He's a security guard now. You're going to hate me even more when I mention my match of the night, because it isn't the Tozawa match.
Oh, disappointing.
There wasn't many great matches on the card, and I didn't mind the United States title match, and I really didn't mind the Riot Squad v the Iconics. But my match of the night is a Raw Underground match, and it's Eric for the Viking Raiders against the unnamed talent, because it showcased him as being absolutely brilliant, which has been missing. So
this has been my favourite Barry input over, just to see John's face during everything that Gary said.
Oh God! Well, if you want to see my face and reaction, sign up patreon.com/wrestling. Craig, thank you very much for being involved and doing SmackDown for us, taking the SmackDown bullet, as we like to say. But I think we might have to switch it to Raw for next week. And remember, if you want to get buddies and putovers for the headline show this week, me, Gary and Alex are doing that. So get them in to us at Wrestling Daft on Twitter. It's Wrestling Daft Podcast on Instagram and just plain old Wrestling Daft on Facebook. Well, we've been going on about it for weeks and weeks now, and you guys have stepped up to the plate, so thank you very much. Thank you for everyone that signed up to our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. The reason people were signing up, we kept grabbing Gradle on the show, but also to get extra content from this here podcast. So on tier one, you can sign up for that. It's $4 a month, about £3, price of a cup of coffee. Patreon-only chat community you'll get on there. You get ad-free versions of all episodes, early episode access to the headline show. You'll get bonus content. We actually put, stupidly, I don't know what I was thinking, on the Patreon this week, I found the original photo shoot of Rab and Gradle against a green screen. Put in a bunch of Wrestling Daft fans with pictures of Rab and Gradle against the green screen was a bad idea. Let me just say that much. And thank you to Sean, who, you know, we all know Tactical Hot Dog, one of our favourites on this show. He's been on this show a couple of times, who got one of the pictures and photoshopped them on top of Pornhub. So I've not told Rab and Gradle about that, but if you want to see, if you want to get green screen pictures of Rab and Gradle to have fun with, they're right up there in tier one of the Patreon. And you also get a full video version of this very podcast and vote on what you want to see on the list of Wrestling Daft. More on that later. Tier 2 Intercontinental Champion, $10 a month, about £7. You get a video version of the headline show, so Alex and Gary, you'll need to spruce yourself up for this week as we're taking over the headline show. Invite to our Patreon-only pay-per-view parties. Next one, probably SummerSlam, boys?
I would guess so.
I think
SummerSlam. And do you know what I'm going to do, actually, on that tier as well? We're going to do a bit of Quiz-a-mania, and we'll, like we did with WrestleMania, we're going to have a quiz for SummerSlam, because it's one of the big four. So we might do that, and we actually might do it live, I think, for SummerSlam, because it's one of the big four. So Patreon-only pay-per-view parties, get involved in that. It's always a good laugh. We get drunk. We shoot on wrestling. It's great fun. And a bonus episode you'll get once a month. This week, we're going to be speaking to Rab, and we'll have Rab on wrestling. That will be up by the weekend. Tier 3 World Heavyweight Champion, $20 a month, everything in the previous tiers. Get free, I'm going to say you get free tickets for live events if they ever happen. I'll just take that bit out, but you will get free tickets when they happen. Free wrestling.
Stop making jokes about that. It's okay. It's no longer funny to make jokes about it. It's been so long.
I know. Free Wrestling Daft t-shirt of your choice. You have to sign up for a minimum of 3 months to get that. Plus the chance to come on this show as a mark, or you get to go in the main show to do the run-in with Rab and Gradle. So if you want to do a run-in on this week's show, please get signed up there. So it's patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We would love to welcome you to the roster. It's time to grab a California roll, an Asahi, and indulge in Wrestling Daft's most popular feature as we once again head to Big Alex's dojo for Turning Japanese. What have we got this week, Alex?
Well, first of all, I would like to distance myself and the segment from John's, what's the word, slightly stereotypical Japanese introduction.
Yeah. The music doesn't help either, does it?
Yeah, no, it kind of doesn't. I'd just like to let it be known that the production of that side does align with John. But we've had a pretty... Yeah, like I was, as I was saying last week, I was kind of slightly disappointed that the Summer Struggle Tour was kind of replacing the G1 because the G1's been pushed back and so far didn't really have a point. But they've found a point for it. So our new IWGP Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion was actually a triple champion because he also held the never six-man openweight tag team championships with two of his former stablemates. So now it's turned out that he is now refusing to defend that title with them because he's joined a different stable. And so those titles have now been vacated. So what they've done with the Summer Struggle Tour is that's now becoming a tournament to decide the new open neverweight six-man tag champions. So well done for them for playing that. So it seems like the Evil Booking had some even longer term thought going into it other than just the title, the main event picture, which is classic New Japan booking that I absolutely love. But that was by far not the most exciting thing that happened this week. So they've been running Young Lions Collisions over the past couple of months to try and give some extra content to their subscribers on New Japan World when they've been off, which is essentially their training dojo wrestlers getting a little bit of exposure. But now, a couple of months ago, they announced the formation of New Japan Pro Wrestling of America, which I'm sure you both would have heard
of. Yeah.
So I was slightly confused, but well, the timing of that was obviously slightly unfortunate with AEW just starting to really ramp up. You know, if they'd done this a year ago, I think it would have been so much more hype around it. And I think a lot of us were unsure what exactly this was going to be. But we finally got our first announcement regarding it a couple of days ago. So basically, as of this week, 7 o'clock Eastern time on New Japan World, they are starting a new 1 hour a week television show called New Japan Strong, which is going to run with all of their American talent who can't get over to Japan to record at the moment. So, and as part of that, they're also running a tournament, which they're doing the New Japan Cup USA, with the winner getting a title shot against your IWGP US champion, who is?
Evo.
John Moxley.
Oh.
So,
I forgot he held that title.
Yeah, it's been so long because we haven't seen him over in Japan since Wrestle Kingdom. So, John, he's still the IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, really?
It's quite funny. It's because they did actually strip him of this belt.
I was going to say he relinquished the title or got stripped of the title, did he not? And then he's now just still got it.
No. So what happened was that he originally, when he got injured over in AEW, they're quite strict about the 30-day non-compete rule in New Japan. Amazing that they are, you know, they abide by their own rules.
What a wrestling company do actually abide by wrestling rules. Jesus Christ. Not been in a while.
So yeah, so like John, he couldn't travel across, so he got stripped of the title. Juice then won the title. No, he didn't. Archer won the title. Lance Archer of AEW won the title. And then John won it back off him, essentially. So he's still holding it because obviously they haven't had any wrestling at all. So they've kind of probably just had to put a little bit of a stopgap on their 30-day rule for a couple of months. Extenuating circumstances, we can let them off.
Otherwise, every title's vacant.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, no champions. So I'm really excited about this. So the lineup is behind me for those of you who are part of the video podcast. If not, I'll kind of do a quick run through and we'll see who John actually recognizes. I'm intrigued to see.
Yeah, okay. I'm recognizing some names.
Right, so let's just run down the card. So Carl Friedrichs is someone I've only kind of familiar with through New Japan. He's a good talent. He's a young guy, young American guy, so he's going to do some good stuff. Kenta is...
Heard of him.
Of course, we've all heard of Kenta. Kenta would be... I reckon Kenta's going to the final. I'm unsure if Kenta's going to win, but I can see Kenta going all the way to the final.
Right.
Then we have Jeff Cobb of AEW, recent AEW thing.
And then just disappeared, popped up for one show and then...
for like two shows, then left.
Yeah.
AKA the monster Matanza Cueto for Lucha Underground.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, see, I totally didn't realise that was him until I think you pointed out a couple of weeks ago, and I love how all the dominoes just fall into place. We have Tangaloa, who's the brother of Tama Tonga, who Gary has an interview with coming
friend
up very shortly.
Tama Tonga.
Yes, we'll hear it on the show.
Then we have David Finlay, who is the son of Fit Finlay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, he is my actual other selection for the final here because they've been pushing him quite strong. He won the IWGT Tag Team Championship at Wrestle Kingdom with Juice. So I reckon he's gonna have a really good showing here. Chase Owens is your Bullet Club member. So he, another young American guy. He's been part of New Japan for a while. He's quite prominent in Ring of Honor as well. Brody King of Villain Enterprises fame. So he's really big in ROH, part of Marty Scurll's stable. And of course, probably the most famous of the bracket, your man, Tama Tonga.
I've heard of him.
You've heard of Tama?
I've heard of Tama Tonga. And
a lot of time for Tama. He's definitely one of the biggest spokespeople for New Japan across in America. And I think he does a really good job promoting the Japanese product as a whole. So really excited about this tournament. Really excited about having a new show to watch every week. Slightly surprised we've not got Juice Robinson in there or a Marty Scurll, as I thought, like, Marty especially would have brought a lot of eyes across. But
Marty Scurll's got some issues going on at the moment, dude. I don't know if you've read the news. Yeah.
I haven't read the
currently
news.
Currently under investigation from
Hashtag speaking out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm no longer surprised. Marty Scurll's not part of this brand.
Although the one thing that I think we might see during this tournament at some point might be a certain tag team that are in America that are going to be in New Japan at some point. So that's one thing I'm definitely going to be watching every week to see if they turn up.
I think that especially now that they've got the working relationship with ROH, ROH aren't doing any shows at the moment, so I could see a lot of ROH talent just showing up and stuff like that at the moment while they've still got the working relationship going on. So really exciting times, and we will most certainly get a John Moxley appearance at some point. So that as well.
It means we can kick the arse out of this feature for our next wee while as well. So absolutely fantastic.
You've inadvertently picked a fucking great time to start this, John.
Like, it worked well. It worked out really well. Listen, it's all produced. It's all pre-produced. And you know, you're going to get really excited next couple of weeks. We're going New Japan crazy because we've got an interview on Friday's show with the Good Brothers, which Alex, which Gary did. And we also have Tama Tonga on next week as well. Check us out.
Giving his thoughts on turning Japanese as well, which is a...
Oh my God.
The only UK podcast doing a dedicated Japan segment. I love it.
On our group WhatsApp chat that we, Gary and Alex, have, I was so excited that Gary actually asked Tama Tonga about the turning Japanese feature on Wrestling Daft. It will blow your mind, and you'll be able to hear it on next week's Wrestling Daft. Until next
week. Oh, you haven't got your homework yet?
Oh, God, here we go. Yeah, what am I doing? I always ignore it, but what am I meant to be doing?
Right, so this week, from the G1 Supercard 2019, our stipulations of my matches this year, I wanted to get someone they did in America. I wanted to get Tama Tonga involved. So you're to watch the four-way tag team match from the G1 Supercard 2019, which is the Tongas, or the Gorillas of Destiny by their full name, Villain Enterprises, which is Brody King, and PCO. You also get the great PCO electric chair entrance during this match, which is just hilarious. And then you've got Jay and Mark Briscoe and Evil and Sonata. So you can even see Evil in his previous guise as a tag team wrestler.
Excellent, excellent. Well, look forward to that. Obviously, I'll be watching that this weekend. And until next time, sayonara.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Bad news.
Bad, bad,
bad,
bad,
bad,
bad news.
It's the Wrestling News with Gary Cassidy. There we go. Back to the original jingle after last week's slightly different Inspector Gadget-based news theme. Let's go, however. This is exciting news. Gary's story is the top of our wrestling news. Gary has been on the case and he's been breaking stories again. And apparently, this week's Raw tapings were chaos. Gary, what do you know?
Yeah, I don't think this will come as a surprise for anybody that didn't see the story but watched Raw. I think they'll be able to see that it was a slightly chaotic encounter, considering we had a full new venue built that came out of nowhere. Or not a venue, but a full new wrestling setting. And
that's Shane McMahon's basement, Gary. I've told you before, that's actually where they built it.
I'm trying not to mention the name of it because we've mentioned those two words for the entire podcast about 300 times. But we obviously had that full new segment. We had a lot of stuff that just seemed kind of thrown together, which is what I'd been told beforehand. I think I've mentioned this a few times on here. I get told that there's multiple rewrites so many times that I've stopped reporting on it, because how many times can you report the same thing before it just becomes normality rather than news? But yesterday it just seemed like something a wee bit different. So, And I love the way that this is put here as Cassidy tweeted. So I won't say that.
I just copied it and pasted it from the wrestling news. I did it like Cassidy tweeted, but it was just to remind you of your own tweet, Gary.
That was the thing that I tweeted out was essentially that it was totally unprepared, chaos for the top. I got a few other wee kind of bits and bobs for that. Obviously, I didn't want to mention a load of names, but there was a bit of talk about Bruce Pritchard. And the thing that I kind of said for that was a lack of leadership. I'm not going to go too much further with that one because a lot of names get mentioned. The one that I put out was Vince McMahon apparently being volatile. Maybe had something to do with a bit of news that we're going to mention later on regarding
the
next
NFL. Can I ask if the Vince McMahon being volatile is news? Is Vince McMahon not just volatile?
Yeah.
Considering the amount of money that rides on the success of his company and the way the ratings have been going, I think volatile would probably be the lowest emotion if you're looking at a scale of anger. But yeah, that was essentially, I got told it was chaotic, unprepared. Even later on in the night, when I did get told just ahead of time about the entire Raw Underground, I'll mention it once more thing, The thing I was getting told was it was the most chaotic day of tapings in years, which again is something that it gets mentioned every couple of weeks. It was just apparently insanity backstage. A few other people were reporting, I believe WrestleVote said that when the Shane McMahon thing got brought to the attention of the talents, there was, the quote was, a few eyebrows raised. I think that's probably an understatement for the stuff that I was hearing. But yeah. The main quote, the thing that I put out in a direct quote, and I get moaned at by another popular UK podcast for saying this without attributing the quote.
Oh, just doubt them, Gary. Who was it? Let's just take them down.
It was Gorilla Position, who I really like.
Gorilla Position.
All right, Rab Florence, calm down, you in the corner.
Bye. So I put out this quote, and then I'll mention what the heat was that I got for it. Apparently, there's a lack of leadership and indecisiveness. That was the thing I'd put out, kind of. So the follow-up quote was that the shows will happen and air, but there's no attainable goal of quality because everything is decided under the pressure cooker of all coming down to the very last minute. And that, which is exactly what I was told. And again, I keep saying this, that the quote is attributed, while I've not said the quote, it's came to me. I'm the person putting it out. I'm the person that is believing the quote, trusting it enough to publish it myself. So it's me that the credibility falls on for that. If you don't believe me, you don't believe the quote. If you believe me, you believe the quote. That's just the way it is. But Gorilla Position were like, well, that's a direct quote. You need to attribute it to somebody. Who did it come from? And I'm like, well, you don't ask a journalist to name their source because they will not have a source for very long if they name their source on Twitter. And right. Their source will not have a job, so that's why they won't have a source. So yeah, it just was a bit. And again, I love the podcast. They've been nice guys, but for me, I was just
love the guys. But here's what I want the Wrestling Daft listeners to do right now, okay? And it harks back to what we were talking about earlier on. I want you to pick up your smartphone right now. I want you to go onto Twitter, log onto Twitter right there, and go as at Gorilla Podcast. What are they called? Where are they?
I think it's WWEGP.
WWEGP. So that's this other Gorilla Position podcast. And I just want you to tweet them right now. No explanation, just in capital letters, pricks. Right? So,
and I want to say I don't endorse this message, but feel
Gary has nothing to do with
it. Make sure it's hashtag from producer Mac, not hashtag from wrestling Gary.
Right. Just because they're messing with our boy here, Alex. They're messing with our boy. Listen, we've got your. Listen, we're like a. You know, we're like the New Day here. We've got your back here, Gary. Right. So I don't think the New Day would use this particular language, however. But if onto the Gorilla Positions podcast right now, at them in and just capital letters pricks and push send. That would be great.
And I will say that the tweet is still there, and it has just about. The same reply duplicated from everyone saying, why would you ask a journalist to reveal their sources? Because that's never going to happen.
I'm going to do it right now.
So it's just pretty stupid. But at the same time, I don't really care. I put the quote out there. It's attributed to me. I'm the person that's given this news. If it proves to be false, I will always put out a disclaimer.
Yep.
I've never had to do one yet. Never had to do any kind of retraction yet. So that speaks for itself.
You're going to shite yourself for a wee bit when Carl Anderson, hoping that Carl Anderson signed up for it.
That's about the closest I've been. But thankfully, obviously, that gets sorted, which people will hear on Friday. Everything was correct. And also, another person I know from a website called The Sportster asked Carl Anderson directly, what did you think of Gary Cassidy leaking your news? Brilliant. Which was great fun. I don't know if that was before or after my interview with him, but he said that he didn't mind it because the leak essentially put more eyes on the product. So, move aside, Gallows. I'm going to be Carl Anderson to your tag team partner.
Excellent, excellent. we'll just talk about this quickly, and then because I want to move on to something else. Chris Jericho was on doing a Saturday Night Special thing, and he was asked who he would like to add to the AEW roster. He said, can you guess the wrestlers? He said, Alex, who would Chris Jericho want at AEW? Can you guess?
Was it what? Like, well, I just had that moment where I thought it was, when I remember Cody's comment from last week, which is he wanted Neo and he wanted Zack Ryder.
Five people that from across the world that Chris Jericho wants to see in the promotion.
Bill Goldberg.
No.
Greenberg.
No. Right, I'll just...
Right, okay. Kurt Angle?
Yes. Give me three guesses. Who?
Kurt Angle?
Nope.
I think... Randy Orton?
Nope.
John Cena?
Right, you fucked it. Roman Reigns. He wants to see Roman Reigns, Ricochet, Will Ospreay, Kota Ibushi, and he wants to bring over Don Callis from Impact as well as color commentator. There you go.
Oh, him and Don are old pals.
Yeah, he also loves Cesaro and would love to see Cesaro in AEW. I think he'd be one of the top guys.
But the only thing I disagree with in that, I do not want Callis in AEW.
Right, no.
He also leaked that Ty Conte would be competing in the AEW Women's Tag Team Cup tournament last night, just before it happened.
Dear. But talking of AEW, it is moving nights, we believe.
Yeah, so... if you don't like basketball and you do like wrestling, this is probably horrible news because obviously a lot of people love Wednesday night wrestling. But in saying that, if you really like NXT and AEW, that's probably good news because then you get to watch both live. So this has still not been confirmed by AEW in any way. It was the TV, it wasn't even the TV promotion, it was a... TBS, I believe, that put it out, which is part of Warner Media, as a TNT press release. Week of August 17th, TNT programming alert. Due to the NBA's schedule, so they've addressed it directly as to the reason why, AEW Dynamite will make the following shifts on TNT. So the Wednesday, August 19th episode will air on Saturday, August 22nd at 6 p.m. ET. And I believe that is 11 p.m. or midnight. I'll just double check that. 6 p.m. ET UK should be
11.
11.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's 11 p.m. So again, a little bit of an earlier time slot there. So again, Saturday, August 22nd, NXT Takeover is taking place on that day. So a little bit of a crossover, not completely, because we know that Takeover, I believe, is still a midnight start in the UK. So it's 1 hour of crossover. Still interesting. Going to be interesting to see who tunes in for a regular week of Dynamite and who tunes in for a Takeover in that first hour. The other ones, I think, are a bit more interesting in the grand scheme of things. The Wednesday, August 26th episode will air Thursday, August 27th at 8 p.m. ET. So again, that is our usual time, the 1 a.m. in the UK. That's going to air on the Thursday. As far as we know, NXT hasn't changed whatsoever. That's going to go head-to-head with NBA. And the Wednesday, September 16th, so quite a bit in the distance, will air Thursday, September 17th. Again, same time, usual time, 1 a.m. The thing that's interesting for me for this is if the ratings boost really, really, you know, if they end up drawing over 1 million, does that leave a decision to be made on the permanent future of the time slot?
Thursday nights are free.
Yeah. I tell you what, right now, David Meltzer has got a stoner, hasn't he? talking about ratings, oh, he'll be exploding all over the place. Talking about ratings and trying to segue into the next story, the XFL didn't have very good ratings, and now The Rock has bought it, apparently.
2020, I don't think anything would shock me happening this year ever. But this one kind of did a wee bit, but I mean, I was still just like, It's just the times we're living in. So the interesting thing here, I don't know if anybody remembers back to the original XFL, but the very first game, I believe The Rock introduced it. I believe he was on the pitch introducing the first XFL game. Hmm. We know what happened. XFL, obviously, Vince McMahon decided to bring it back. COVID-19 threw a bit of a spanner in the works, so we'll never know if it would have been a success anyway or not, but it went down the pan due to COVID-19. Thought it was just dead in the water. Obviously, it was auctioned off, but it didn't even get to the auction point. So The Rock, as part of a partnership with another complete company, Redbird Capital, that's an investment firm. Yep, and his ex-wife, Danny Garcia, who I believe they also run, is it $7 Promotions or Productions, which is the
and I think she's a hand family. In his tequila as well, does she not? Yeah. Romana.
They're still, obviously, they've got, you know, a kid together who is a WWE superstar. So they are still, you know, very, very much business partners. They have bought the XFL for apparently $11.5 million. I believe that's pounds. Quite a lot of money considering the position.
I disagree. I think that's bloody cheap.
I guess the potential.
Like, you compare that to, like, wait, what were they talking about for the takeover of Newcastle FC? Like,
oh, yeah, I suppose.
Four hundreds of million. You know?
It's a whole football franchise.
Yeah, this is the entire league.
Yeah. And I mean, for The Rock, pocket change. I mean, in context, I guess, for The Rock, he's probably spent more than that on a bottle of tequila, never mind his full tequila production. So that's absolutely insane. But obviously, we mentioned it, relaunched earlier in the year, didn't get off the ground. The Rock, big football background, he's been very open about the fact that he really wanted to play American football professionally. Wasn't he quite good enough? Fell into depression before he became a wrestler, and I think even at the start of his career, man... We've seen ballers. We've all seen ballers. I wonder if it will play out in a similar fashion.
This is it. It's like The Rock's making one of his TV shows become a reality. He's actually not just in ballers. He buys a team, but now he's buying a full league. What other Rock films would you like to see come true? Because Rock's this is what Rock's making happen. He's making
Tooth Fairy 100 times the Tooth Fairy.
He's going to make it happen, mate. This is what's happening. He's just like going, I wonder if I could actually make that happen. You know,
and well, like, do you know what they call him in Hollywood? They call him the franchise saver, because they attribute him to single-handedly saving the Fast franchise.
Yeah. And I think the best thing that could happen for all this is a wee bait and switch. Donald Trump can have the XFL and The Rock can be the president. There you go. That's the only way forward for me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for the news this week, Gary. Welcome to Fantasy Booking Island, where the drinks are always free. It's an island where anything goes in the world of wrestling. Basically, we get set a task to book something in the fantasy world, and we make it happen through the power of our minds. Gary has... I don't know what I'm talking about this week. Gary has...
I don't
Gary
know if I want to participate in this segment after that intro anymore, John.
Gary has the book. What are we going to be booking this week, Gary?
Firstly, I hope you're both enjoying your asahi and sushi on your respective islands. But yeah, this one became more fitting than I thought it would when I booked it. It was one of those ones that, as always, I forgot I'd won because it was such a rare occurrence. You guys asked me what to book, and the first thing that came to my mind, my favourite angles in wrestling ever are invasion angles. You know, whether it's Nexus, whether it's the WCW thing, I guess you would say, rather than WWF. But yeah, any invasion angle, I absolutely love. So what better way to get Fantasy Booking Island on the go this week than by just giving you a simple word, invasion. Just book any invasion. Can be anything. Can be a faction. Can be a promotion. Just an invasion.
Right.
Okay. John, you look so worried about that.
I am a bit worried about this because I'm just rethinking what I've kind of got in my idea that I've got in my head. It's a bit controversial, but we'll see how it goes. Anyway, will you decide who goes first? It would be Alex by flipping normally a badge.
I've not brought my badge out of my bag this
week.
All I have is
a coaster.
I've got a coaster there.
Yours is wrestling related. Use yours.
Yep, it's a coaster.
You can call it, Alex. You can call it.
All right, I'll go for the heads.
Tails.
I'll go first.
Ooh, confident.
This is because this is just written on the back of a fag packet. Right, okay. Start that timer. We've got 3 minutes to give our fantasy book in, and it's an invasion angle. Here it goes. Start the clock. Okay, right. So at the moment, AEW kind of booking a lot of independent stars, right? Here's what I'm going to suggest happens. AEW books David Starr, Marty Scurll, and any other terrible person that's been involved in the speaking out movement, okay? So they're all set up thinking they're going into this fight with kind of Cody for the TNT Championship. Lights go out. Lights come back up. All the female wrestlers that have been involved in the speaking out movement and have been treated like shit are on the outside, very much like the Nexus, and they all pile into the ring and they batter every single one of them, and they go totally over them like the Nexus, and there brings this kind of female Nexus troop that go across all the bad men in this world and batter them for being horrible, horrible people. So that's my invasion angle, and I'm leaving it there.
I think that's really good. God damn it, John.
Within the first few minutes, I was like, if Alex says one word, is one. But he actually pulled it back, and now I'm thinking, that's actually not a bad idea. I hated it when you mentioned David Starr, but you brought it back. You brought it back.
You actually beat the shit out of all.
Yeah, it's a shoot. You shouldn't have done it in AEW, John. You should have done it in Raw Underground.
Damn it, I should have done it in Raw Underground. God. Right, anyway, so just short, sharp and simple. We're going to get our own back. I think it'd just be a really nice angle of, like, power to women and fuck these guys.
I'm just glad we didn't get you to name the faction of David Starr and Marty Scurll and everyone else. That would have been a different kettle of fish.
That, and it is just basically the faction is the speaking out movement. There we go. Simple, to the point. Alex, on you go.
Ends the opposite.
Oh no!
Is that a nice star faction?
All right, here we go. So it all starts on BTE. So the Bucks invite Gallows and Anderson around for a cheeky wee game of poker. Gallows and Anderson gets secretly pissed. Bucks don't because they don't drink, and they get really drunk and start trying to gamble for jobs in AEW, basically. But they don't get them. So the next week on Dynamite, we have this kind of hyped appearance of Eric Bischoff, because that's apparently happening this week. He appears and he cuts a promo and he's like, things are going to change around here. He's immediately stopped by the Young Bucks, who come out and be like, who the fuck are you? What are you going to change? Get out. And they immediately ask him to leave. So they're starting to get a little bit pissed off here. So then they go backstage and they've got Brody Lee comes up to them and tries to start petitioning them for a rematch for the tag team titles. And they go and see like Leva Bates, who wants more time on screen and all this stuff. So they're getting really pissed off. And then they bump into the Revival. And we start just laying through them about all these new contract demands that they've been going on about because the Bucks haven't actually heard about this. So in the middle of this, Nick has enough and he storms out. Matt follows him. But by the time Matt gets outside, he finds Nick put through a table. And he's like, what the fuck? So we're going to play a little classic game of whodunit here. So the Bucks come out next week. And they just point blank assume that it's the Dark Order. So they call out Brody Lee. And Brody Lee comes out flanked by the entire of the Dark Order. So in the middle of this segment, two guys wearing Dark Order masks sneak up behind the Young Bucks and take them out with motorcycle wrenches. Brody's standing there like, what the hell? But he kind of looks pretty happy about it. But what can you do? So this leaves everyone more confused. So the Bucks are getting really confused and they missed a bit. So the next week, Brody Lee comes out and he's like, who are these guys and why the hell are they attacking us? So he's there with the entire Dark Order and the two guys come down the front of the ramp. Same thing happens as last week. Another two masked guy in Dark Order masks jump out behind him and take them out with motorcycle wrenches. Everyone's very, very confused by this point. And the Bucks are like, right, we need to deal with this. So they go backstage, they assemble the Elite, and they're like, we need your help, boys. But Cody's like, I'm too busy. I've got an open challenge this week. And Kenny's obviously way too busy dealing with drunk Adam Page. So Matt looks at Nick and he's like, we need to get the band back together. And he looks at Matt and he's like, I'll make the call. So the match is booked for the week after on Dynamite. Shit, I'm running out of time here. Matt and Nick and their two mystery partners against the four masked men. So, main event of the next week's show, Matt and Nick come out, but before their mystery partners can be revealed, the four guys kind of surround the ring from each segment. Just then, big old Gallows and Anderson run down to the ring to be the Young Bucks' wee mystery partner. They go to give them the big old too sweet. Doesn't happen like that. They both then get immediately kicked in the groin by the Good Brothers. A cheeky wee magic killer. The masked men then jump into the ring, and we see a 3D through a table. And the guys slowly pull up their masks. And we have Wes Briscoe, Garrett Bischoff, Devon Dudley, and of course, Bully Ray Dudley, with Taz going mental on commentary. End. Because I've ran out of time. There was meant to be a whole bit about Taz coming out at the end, but I ran out.
Purely because I need to be an absolute shell for the Good Brothers here, because we're going to be airing the interview on Friday. I think Alex has to win. But I did... John, I can't believe you managed to make me absolutely hate something and then pull it back to me quite liking it in the space of a minute.
That was absolutely... You got beaten by an Aces and Eights reunion, mate. An Aces and Eights reunion.
And again, anything Impact related, I'm obviously going to be all in with that. But I think Alex was 3 seconds away from losing because he would have been disqualified if he went 3 seconds longer. But I think I need to go with that purely because I'm a Dudley Boys marking
it. Alex did put a lot of thought and effort into it. So I'm just like the school kid that's just turned up with a really raggedy bit of homework and tried to get an A. Give Alex an A.
And mainly because he weaved in several promotions, because that would be what Ring of Honor, Impact, and also Free Agent and WWE, because Devon is a producer in WWE.
I think so. And Wes is not in NWA, or no, he's in something else or something. Wes is like proper indie these days. So. Yeah.
Well done, Alex. Cool. Another win on the cards for you.
Aces and Eights, mate. I think me and Gary are the only people in the world that like the Aces and
So that's it for this week's show. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us whenever you get your podcast. You could write something nice like Fraz Bloke, because I think that's my mate Fraser. But well done, Fraser, for writing this. The two podcasts.
Just don't like prick.
Don't write prick. Do that to Gorilla podcast people. Brasbroke says the two podcasts really complement each other. The main show is absolute nonsense in a great way, and the marks are informative and just as much fun as the main show. That's nice, isn't it?
It's nice when people lie to pay you a compliment.
It is really good for that. And unfortunately, you're stuck with us on the main show this week as well, because Rab's away getting married. So on the main show, we do the list of wrestling daft there. This week, we put up on our Patreon, which you can vote on, of course, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. How many times have I said that? Basically, it was in ode to the fact that Rab's getting married. I put up the best wrestling weddings, which I thought was a sure winner. But then I put that up against the worst themes in wrestling, okay? So, Gary, I don't want to hear, because you're going to do the list of wrestling daft this week, so you're going to do the top three on that. Alex, what is the worst wrestling theme you have heard?
Oh, I can't decide. There's been so many bad ones, but I think it was every single TNA theme that Jeff Hardy wrote for himself.
Yes.
And sang for himself, and played for himself, and yeah.
He's like Jeff Hardy's like the Dennis Waterman of kind of wrestling, is it? Write the theme, sing the theme.
Just do it all. He's a one-man band.
No, absolutely. I've got to go for something a bit more contemporary, and I've got to say Jake Atlas's theme, because I fucking think it's the worst thing I've ever heard. I don't know why. It's just an electrical spot.
Generic dubstep.
Hate it. So anyway, I'll go for Jake Atlas. Gary will be counting down his top three on Friday's show. Get involved, sign up to the Patreon, you'll get the video version of this. And Paul, you know, why not buy yourself a t-shirt as well? Hey, what the hell? shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft to get all the t-shirts up there. Gary, where can we get you on Twitter for all the wrestling scoops and detective work?
Time to bring out the old catchphrase, where if you're already going to go and follow Wrestling Daft, do that, and then take away the last four letters, stick in another four, Garry, Wrestling Gary on Twitter.
There you go. And where can we see pictures of cats on your Twitter?
Thirsty baboon, but not as if I've posted anything on Twitter.
Post anything. If you want just to follow Alex, just to...
If you want to follow a blank Twitter account, feel free.
Boost his ego, follow Alex as well. I'll be at Producer Mark, you'll get me there. Boys, thanks very much as ever. And until next time, keep marking out. Audio Frontier.